It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Welcome back to Money for Lunch. It's just, I'm just starting to chill here. Excited about today's guest. I love when people will take something and they put a new twist on it, a little innovation. And so today I'm going to be joined by Andrew Mock from Turo, and we're going to be getting into that shortly. But as always, let's start with the quote of the day. The cars we drive say a lot about us. The cars we drive say a lot about us. That is by Alexandria Paul. And as I mentioned, today I'm being joined by Andrew Mock. Andrew joined Turo in January of 2012 and worked on everything from finance to marketing to analytics. As CMO, Andrew is focused on making Turo an iconic brand globally. Previously, Andrew was VP of growth at Dog Vacay, strategy consultant at Bain & Company, and front-end developer for Life 360. Andrew Mock, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Hey, Bert. Thanks so much for having me on the show. Great to be on.
Well, you know what? I'm excited to have you on. I'm glad that you're able to stop by because I think a lot of people aren't familiar with Turo. Turo, it's T-U-R-O, T-U-R-O.com. And first of all, why don't you start out by letting our listeners know what Turo is all about?
Yeah, absolutely. So Turo is the world's largest peer-to-peer car sharing platform. A lot of folks like to call us the Airbnb for cars. And basically how it works is if you're a car owner and you have an idle car that's just sitting around, costing you money, depreciating, you can actually share that car with other people, earn extra cash to offset your car payments, insurance costs, and all the other expenses associated with owning a car. And if you're a traveler who's looking to book a car for your trip, could be a weekend getaway, could be a road trip with friends, could be a family vacation, you get access to great cars at great prices, on average about 35% more affordable than traditional rental options. And you can book everything under the sun. We've got classic cars, we've got vintage cars, we've got the latest Tesla Model 3, the Model X, we've got custom cars. You can really find it all on the Turo app or on the Turo website.
Yeah, that is extraordinary. I just think that is extraordinary. Give us a little bit of background, if you will. How did the company come about? Give us the idea or the formation or the motivation behind the company.
Yeah, sure. So we've got a pretty fun founding story. The company was founded by a gentleman named Shelby Clark, who sits on the board of directors for the company still today. And as legend has it, as he tells it, it was a dark and stormy night in Boston back in 2009 when Shelby was riding his bike through the snow, trudging to get to the nearest car rental location. And he kind of just looked around at all the cars parked on the street. One was kind of bumper to bumper next with the other one. And he asked himself, he's like, why can't I just borrow one of these? And so that's how he came up with the concept. And, it's pretty fascinating. He started doing some research on the numbers. I'll share some of them with you. Yes. If you look at just the United States alone, there's 270 million registered passenger vehicles, 270 million. There's actually only 210 million licensed drivers. So there's more cars out there than there are drivers. It's pretty insane.
That's funny.
And globally, the number is unbelievable. It's a billion cars. It's actually 1.2 billion, I believe. And some of the experts predict it'll reach 2 billion in the next couple decades. And, you know, so the average car is just kind of, we've got more cars and we've got people driving them. The average car is sitting idle about 95% of the time, 23 hours out of 24 hours of the day. And for most folks, it's their number one or number two most expensive asset. So it's just a massive waste of really valuable resources. So that's why we're super excited about Turo. It's all about changing the economics of car ownership. You can share your car for 1 day a month, 5 days a month, 6 days a month, all, you know, 20 days a month, whatever you want. And you can turn it from being this thing that costs you money to actually being an investment asset like real estate that can earn you some extra cash flow. So it's pretty novel concept, and we think something that's here to stay for a really long time.
Yeah. Man, that is, first of all, what a great story for Shelby there.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, first of all, he's got a great name for a car company, right? I believe there is the Mustang Shelby or some Shelby vehicle that was fairly famous. And
yeah, and that's right, the Ford Shelby.
There you go, the Ford Shelby. And then on top of that, what I love about the story is here's a guy who has a problem. And he's looking around and he's asking, why can't I borrow one of these other cars? Why am I having to trudge through the snow to go to a rental agency? And this is why, you know, just as a segue real quick, Enterprise Rent-A-Car, the company that picks you up, this is one of the reasons that Enterprise has done so well, because so many companies, as far as I know, they're the only company that will come and pick you up. And so here's this Mr. Shelby who's trudging through the snow, getting to a car rental agency because they won't come get him. And he has this epiphany and he starts the company. And you guys are how old now?
So we were founded in 2009. So just about to hit our 10-year anniversary, actually. So about nine years old now.
That is fantastic. First of all, congratulations. And second of all, that is a big moment because, you know, most companies don't make 10 years. So congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I mean, it's something we're very proud of. If you had talked to me 6 years ago or almost 7 years ago now when I joined the company, I would have been shocked by some of the numbers we're seeing today. We have almost 10 million signups.
Wow.
And over 350,000 listed cars, which is still mind-blowing. I pinch myself sometimes when I hear those numbers because, you know, back in 2012, I mean, remember, 2012 was when Airbnb was really just starting to pick up. You know, I told people, you know, I work for this company, peer-to-peer car sharing. You can share your car with a stranger. And everybody was, their response was kind of like, why would I do that? Why would I want a stranger to sit in my car? It just makes no sense whatsoever. And 350,000 cars later, you know, 9 years later, folks are warming up to the concept. Thanks to, you know, folks like Uber and Airbnb who have really been leaders in the sharing economy. And I think people are understanding, hey, you know, folks aren't so bad. Folks aren't so bad. And this is actually a really great way to reduce waste and earn some extra cash for myself. So.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. Look, especially as you said, if your car is sitting idle, this is not a bad idea. I was thinking, you know, when I lived in New York, a lot of people, my sister was included in this. She lived in New Jersey. And so she would take her car. It was like, I don't know, three or four blocks from her house, but she would drive those three or four blocks, park her car. From there, she would grab the bus that would take her the train station, whatever it's called now. And I thought, you know what, that's what immediately came to mind when I saw your company. I bet you there's got to be a gazillion people who would say, hey, I could park my car and get nothing for it, or I can let somebody else rent that car for a day or for a couple of days and, you know, put some money in my pocket.
Yeah, totally. We've got tons of folks doing that. And, you know, the cool thing about this concept is that you don't need to share your car for all 30 days of the month to generate meaningful cash. So, you know, if you look at our data, when we surveyed we call them the hosts, the people who are hosting the cars on our platform, and we asked them about their monthly loan payment, we found that the average monthly loan payment for the latest model cars is roughly $500, $504 to be exact. And if you look at the average monthly earnings on Turo, so how much you can make sharing your car on Turo, it's about $625. So people are making enough to cover their loan payment plus a little bit extra to cover gas and insurance and things of that nature. And they're doing that by only sharing the car 9 days on average a month.
Wow.
So you've still got the car to yourself the other 21, 22 days. You can offset your loan payment. You can make a little bit extra to cover parking, gas, you know, whatever. And your car is only gone 9 days of the month, so you still get to enjoy it. You're getting a car that essentially pays for itself. And that's the average. We've got some cars that pay for themselves in much fewer than 9 days. So if you're renting a Tesla Model X or Tesla Model 3, it's closer to 5 or 6 days. So there's some real opportunity there to change how people think about the cost of their car. And, you know, it's almost like you're getting a free car. It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, yeah. And again, you know, and it's obviously depending on your lifestyle, but, you know, for so many of us, we might use a car every day, but we use it very little throughout that day.
Mm-hmm.
And so it makes sense. But, you know, Americans have this definite love of their car, right? And I could see where some people would be going like, what, Andrew, you must be on crack. I'm not going to have a stranger driving my car, you know? And, anyway, so again, to me, it makes sense. But so let's talk about the real deal. The big fear that a lot of people have is, what happens if someone is in my car and there is a fender bender or some accident? Talk about the responsibilities here.
Yeah, great, great question. And that was the very first thing we focused on when we founded the company, is making sure we had rock solid insurance. And so we partnered actually with top tier insurance providers in every country where we operate. In the United States, we partner with Liberty Mutual, who's also actually one of our investors. And each trip is backed by $1 million in liability insurance, plus physical damages, and the car owners are protected up to the actual cash value of the car. So in short, we've got insurance covered for all of our car owners. And if you're a guest, if you're a traveler who's looking to book a car, we offer a few different protection packages to choose from. If you have your own insurance, you can decline. You know, you've got your own insurance that covers the booking. If you don't have insurance or you wanted to buy extra insurance, we have a basic, standard, and premium package. So it's kind of similar to how traditional car rental would work. You can purchase additional insurance depending on what your risk profile is and what you want your deductible to be. So we've got the insurance all covered.
Man, that's incredible. And I think that's the reason why I find that so incredible and really fascinating is Liberty Mutual is one of your investors / business partners, for lack of better terms, whatever. And the reason why I find that so fascinating is because, come on, these insurance companies aren't in, they are looking to avoid risk as much as possible, right? I mean, yes, they're in the risk business, but if they thought that your business was going to cost them money, they would have just said no. So the reason they teamed up with you,
they're numbers people.
They are numbers people. They know, okay, Andrew's company is going to either make us money, they're looking at this and they're saying Andrew's company is going to make us money or cost us money. And if it's going to cost us money, then they would have said, no, there's no way, you know, we're not going to underwrite this. This is just crazy. But the reality is there's no more risk involved in underwriting, you know, me renting your car versus me renting somebody else's car.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about our platform is that we, you know, because we're primarily an app an app, a mobile app, and also a website. We have tons of data, data that insurance providers, auto insurance providers would love to have. They would love to have, because it helps them price risk and helps them, you know, do the math equation, like you mentioned, you know, crunch the numbers. And so we've got tons of data on, you know, when the trip started, when the trip actually ends. You know, we haven't launched this yet, but in the future, you can imagine we can actually start to collect some telematic data about the driving behavior. Are you driving the car safely, or are you flooring it every time you get on the highway? And so we can start to use this data to tease out who's a good driver, who's a risky driver, and that could be really useful for some of our insurance partners.
Sure. Well, and that's what insurance companies are doing now. They call them little different, you know, different little things, but you know, they want you to take that whatever it's called, that drive, and plug it into your car and drive around for 90 days so they can see what kind of driver you are.
Mm-hmm.
And Progressive does that. Safeco does that. I think all of the insurance companies do something like that. Anyway, I want to talk about this. Again, I'm going to kind of put you on the spot here. So here I am. I'm looking to rent a car. Why would I pick Turo over a traditional car rental company? I mentioned Enterprise. So what's the benefit? Walk me through your thinking.
Sure. Good question. So, you know, we've talked to the folks who are our top customers. You know, we've talked to many of the 10 million folks who signed up with our platform, and we asked them the same question. Why did you choose us? Why are you interested in using Turo? And really, there's three things that pop out. The first one is selection. So we feature over 850 makes and models. Everything from, you know, your generic Toyota Prius to your state-of-the-art Tesla Model 3. I think I mentioned we have classic cars. You can use them for weddings. You can use them for romantic getaways, Cadillac Eldorados, vintage Corvettes. And you've got custom cars. One of my favorites is actually a car near me. It's a truck that somebody modified to run on veggie oil. So, you know, we've got everything under the sun. And perhaps more importantly, you know what you're getting. It's not an economy, subcompact, or mystery car. The car you book on the Turo app, on the Turo website, is the one that you're going to get. So selection, choice, getting a cool car. Going back to the quote that you started the show with, is really important to people who are traveling. The second reason is value. On average, we're about 35% lower priced than alternatives, particularly for specialty cars like vans, SUVs, luxury cars, or even more competitively priced than the traditional rental options. And last but not least is convenience. We have a presence in over 5,000 cities. We have cars that are parked right around the corner from your hotel, from wherever you're arriving at the airport, for example. And you don't need to trek all the way to a rental car location. You can find cars that are right next to you. Or if you prefer, we even have delivery options where the host of the car will deliver the cars directly to you, so you don't even have to move. So, you know, it's a much more convenient option, and it's very seamless and very easy to book the car that you want, to book the perfect car for your trip on the mobile app or on the website, and you can do it, you know, on the go directly from your phone. So those are the three main reasons: selection, value, and convenience.
Gotcha. I love that. All right, so let's talk about making money. We talked a little bit about making money. You mentioned some of the money that you can make with your car. You know, average, I think you said it was like $600 for just 9 days worth of rental, something like that.
Mm-hmm. $625 for 9 days. That's the average.
Okay. And so what kind of cars? So I'm thinking, so somebody's listening to the show and they're going, man, I want to go to Turo.com, Turo.com. I want to register my car. I want to start making, you know, $500-$600 a month, whatever. Is there a age limit? So if I have a 1970 Pinto, you know, that's, let's say, in good shape and running and all that other stuff, would that meet, can I upload that and start trying to make money with that? Or are you guys only taking certain cars? Talk about your inventory and what cars are accepted.
Yeah, so we have some limits on the car because, you know, we want to make sure that the cars are safe. And so today, if you want to automatically list your car has to be less than 12 years old, has to be younger than 12 years old, it has to have fewer than 130,000 miles, it has to have a completely clean title, can't be branded or salvaged, and it can't have ever been declared in total loss. Now, I mentioned we have some classic cars, so we do let those in, but they go through a different process that require a lot more screening, and we require them to actually go into a professional auto shop to inspect and make sure the car is in good condition before we let them in. We also remove any cars that have been reported as unsafe by the community, so we have a star rating system similar to what you find on Uber or Airbnb, where it's a two-way rating system. The host reviews the guest also reviews the host. We display these reviews publicly, openly, and if you know anything comes out that's negative, we will immediately jump on it and make sure that they're removed from the marketplace so that folks don't have a bad experience or that folks would never be put in a situation where the car is unsafe. So we've got all of those requirements in place, plus a few additional safeguards to make sure that we've got a safe and trusted marketplace of vehicles that you're choosing from.
Yeah, I like that. That's fantastic. All right. I want to talk about this this mobility landscape. You know, as you mentioned, you guys have created this mobile app. And what's interesting to me is Airbnb is, for lack of better terms, the largest hotel company out there, you know, or room rental company out there. And of course, they don't own any of their own inventory. You guys are probably the largest, or soon to be the largest car rental program out there. But you again won't own any of the inventory, right?
Yep, that's right. And you know, we prefer to kind of classify ourselves as car sharing versus car
rental.
Thank
you, car sharing.
Because like you said, we don't own any of the cars. And you know, it's really interesting, Bert, how personal mobility is changing right now, isn't it? In the last 5 to 10 years with Uber and Lyft and now we've got the scooters and the bike players. I mean, the way people think about getting from point A to point B is just completely different. And we're excited to be part of that new wave. You know, the trend that we're seeing more and more of is this idea of access over ownership.
Yes.
You know, specifically if you're thinking about millennials, young people, you know, back in the day, 20, 30 years ago, when you turn 16, you turn 18, the first thing you want to do is get your driver's license and drive a car or own a car.
Yeah.
Now, when you survey young folks, the vast majority of people would rather have a phone than have a car. And so it's almost like the phone and the collection of apps is starting to replace personally owned vehicles. And you can use your phone to get from point A to point B. You can, what we call micro mobility. You can get micro mobility services that are bikes and scooters. They get you 0 to 5 miles. If you're going further than that, you probably want to get in the car. And so there's intra-city apps like Uber and Lyft, ride hailing, kind of like taxi services that can get you across town. And if you're taking a road trip or you're visiting somewhere for 5 days and you need a car for all 5 days, that's where you look at Turo. Traveling 15 plus miles when you want a personal vehicle for the entire duration of your trip, that's where Turo comes into play. And so it's sort of the super short distance, short time is micro mobility. That's the bikes and scooters. The point A to point B is the ride hailing. And then I need a car for several hours or for several days. That's where folks find Turo to be in the sweet spot. And the combination of all these things is, hey, I don't necessarily need to own a personal car anymore. I can pick one of these three segments to service whatever is my personal mobility need.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you know what? It's interesting because a couple of years ago, my son started college, and I gave him my car. It was paid for and stuff like that. And I was, I want to say, 9 or 10 months without a car. And I, you know, I used Lyft and Uber. And I think on average, I was spending about $200 a month for the cost of my transportation. Mm-hmm. And you can't beat that. You have a driver that covers your gas, that covers your insurance, that covers everything for $200 a month. And then, you know, my wife said, well, you know, eventually you're going to need to get a car. And, you know, and so I put it off, I think, like I said, 9 or 10 months, and finally did get a car. And now, of course, my car note is more than what I was spending before. Mm-hmm. And so this idea of car ownership, you know, and what did you call it? Micro transportation?
Micromobility. Yeah.
Micromobility. Yeah. You know, it will have a massive impact on cars, on car manufacturers. You're already seeing that. You know, not only do we have Turo now coming into the, well, I guess not, I shouldn't say coming into the landscape, but I should say Turo is changing the landscape because you guys have been around 10 years now. But, you know, you have, you mentioned the scooters and the bikes, and there's Zipcar where you can, you know, kind of almost on the same bandwidth as these scooters, where you find this car wherever you rent it for an hour or three or whatever, and you move it to the next location, somebody else picks it up. But transportation is literally changing, or maybe has already changed, I guess, for millennials. But transportation or transportation ownership is no longer what it used to be for, as you said, for you and I, when we were growing up, you know, that rite of passage. I've turned 16. I got my driver license. I can now drive. That model is no longer valid today.
Yeah. And I think it all comes back to dollars and cents. It's people are doing the same math that you're doing, and they're just realizing that the traditional way of thinking about car ownership doesn't make sense anymore. It's just so expensive. And I think, you know, what we'll move more towards is towards a model of shared ownership. So this idea that, hey, maybe you own a car, but I'll just share it for a couple of days a month. And that way it doesn't cost me $500 a month net, you know, after I share it for a couple of days, it only costs me $200. I think that's the only way that the economics will justify themselves. And I think we'll see more and more people moving in that direction.
You know, and what I like about this, not to end on a philosophical note, is that maybe we'll start looking at things without so much emotion, right? I mean, sometimes we get too proud or too caught up in owning this car, and by not owning a car and renting it here and renting it there, maybe that'll change the way we, quote, feel about things. And it won't be so important to own this or to own that, because the thing itself is just a tool from getting to point A to point B. And if we can rent that tool, then life is sometimes easier.
Totally agree. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, Andrew, I want to say thank you so much for stopping by. Love to bring you back in a few months down the road and see what's happening with Turo. And again, thank you so much for sharing today.
Thank you, Bert. I had a lot of fun. Appreciate it.
You bet. Good stuff there from Andrew Mock from Turo, TURO.com. Weird, out of the park thinking, but here they are 10 years old or coming up on their 10th year. And things that, you know, that you never thought, at least in my lifetime, I would never think that rite of passage would ever change. But here it is, completely changed. It's no longer the big deal that it was. Anyway, my friends, let's share this show with everybody else. Let's share the show with everybody you know. Let's help people think out of the box, which is what Turo did. Let's show how taking a problem, you can actually make a profit with it. And of course, not to mention, let's let people know about Turo. It might be something that they want to try out. Maybe they want to make some money with it. Maybe they want to rent it or rent through it, I guess. And as always, my friends, remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch, and check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.